Will you turn with me to the chapter we read, Paul's Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 6. And with the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from verse 19. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. And the following verse says, whither the forerunner is forth entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Which hope we have. Well, to have some hope. We live in a world of trouble, of sin. You look around at the world in which we live at present. There doesn't seem to be much ground of hope. We think of our children growing up and our young people. You look at our country and the dreadful slide into sin that is taking over us. The rise of Antichrist. The confusion in society. The confusion in government. There's trouble in many places. This society that's divided, with a country that, if you scratch beneath the surface, you'll find a lot of trouble, a lot of discontentment, a great divide between those that have and those that have not. Man has not been able to fix it. Satan's dividing and seeking to conquer. You look back to 2012 and all the promises that were made by politicians that the Olympic Games and sport was the answer to everything. And what's it brought? Nothing. There's trouble everywhere. Not much reason as you look around to be hopeful in and of the world. People try and put their hope and expectations in those in high places, those in authority. We find that even they are self-obsessed and are doing that which is right in their own eyes. Everybody's seeking their own ends. Everybody has their own agenda. Nobody seems to be seeking God's will in things. We have a national church that is, well, in chaos. Very little real religion left. There are some, but not much. We've confusion in many things. But what about you and I? Oh, to have amongst all the uncertainty, amongst all the things that are seemingly going wrong, to have our eyes up, looking upward, we might have something sure and something steadfast. We read, wherein God, this is verse 17, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath, that by two immutable things, two unchangeable things, and what are they? They're his counsel and his oath. Well, beloved friends, there's no immutable counsel, is there, in anywhere around us excepting God. Oh, his immutable counsel and the immutability, the unchangeable oath, his word, two immutable things in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation, a great comfort, something to console us in a day of trouble, a day of adversity. The psalmist says, if the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Well, what shall they do? What have they always done? They sought the Lord in prayer. Oh, when those things around them are shaking and giving way, what has the Church of God throughout the ages proved sure and steadfast? The Word of God. Oh, the mercy of God, the promises of God, the things that pertain, that are God's, are sure and steadfast. That we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope set before us. Beloved friends, in a world of no hope, a world of trouble, a world of sin, and then you look at your own heart and your own part in this world, and what do we see in our own hearts? Well, I hope we all are brought to see it. If you don't see it yet, may the Lord show you it. Your own sinfulness, your own wretchedness, your own weakness, but that hope which is set before us. Paul, writing to the Ephesians, he reminded them, didn't he, of what they were. It's good for us to those who know and fear the Lord here this evening, that you and I might remember what we once were. That it is by the grace of God. We've nothing in and of ourselves. If we've anything good in us, it's from God. Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ. I wonder if that's a few maybe here this evening. That's where you feel to be, without Christ. Oh, you've got no grounds to hope. Well, does it trouble you? Without Christ? These Gentiles, these Ephesians written to here by Paul, they were at one time without Christ. You were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, and having no hope without God in the world. Well, that's the Gentiles, isn't it? Strangers and foreigners. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Oh, they were having no hope and without God in the world. Oh, but now in Christ Jesus. Oh, that precious blood shed for sinners. Oh, the hope that is in Jesus. John, beholding the Lord Jesus as he walked, turned to his disciples and said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Oh, you say, my heart's a world of sin. Oh, my heart's deceitful and desperately wicked. Oh, my life's ruined with sin. Oh, I'm one of these that is without hope. I've looked for it in my heart. There's nothing there. I can't rest on anything. Oh, all my former hopes, all my former thoughts of hope have been swept away. Oh, I thought my chapel attendance was going to make some steps towards making amends. No, but that was swept away. No, I thought I could rest on the prayers of my parents. Oh, but can I? Oh, what foundation is there for me? Oh, I need something more sure and certain than that. One by one, hopes are swept away. Oh, and what are we left with? A heart full of sin. A life that's not right. Oh, we're not right before God. Oh, and if this is our end state, called before his judgment seat, what can be pronounced except judgment and condemnation? The wages of sin is death. Oh, the wrath of God to be poured out for an eternity upon us. To bear the punishment of our sin. Oh, the misery. Lost, ruined, guilty and undone. Without hope in the world. Oh, but Paul writes to these who have fled for refuge. With a heart full of sin. With guilt lying heavy on the soul. With the condemnation of God ringing in their ears. Wages of sin is death. Oh, but fleeing for refuge. To what? To what? To hope. A door of hope. A place of hope. To Christ Jesus himself. To the God of hope. To the God of all consolation. Oh, to plead that name that is given among men, whereby we must be saved, to plead the name of Jesus. Pressed with guilt, ruined with sin, feeling that heavy load, oh, they hasten to his feet. Not like the public, not like the Pharisee, who prayed with himself. No, but like the publican, who could but not so much as lift his eyes unto heaven, smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." Which hope we have. A hope of mercy. In Christ, oh, God can be merciful, and is merciful. Oh, that way. Oh, that wondrous plan of salvation, whereby poor, guilty, lost, ruined sinners might find acceptance in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, that wondrous days man, that one who is the mediator, the one who in him sinners are reconciled to God. Oh, in their sins and in themselves, and of themselves there's no way of approach. Oh, none come unto the Father but by me. Oh, but him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. And they must come. It's give me Christ or else I die. Oh, my hope, my only hope's in thee. O God, be merciful to me. Oh, in the person of Jesus Christ, in that finished work at Calvary. Oh, God is merciful to poor needy sinners. God can be merciful. There is that hiding place, a refuge from the storm, a shadow from the heat, a man, Christ Jesus, a man shall be a hiding place. Oh, for the lost, the weary, the tempted, the guilty, to hasten unto and plead for mercy. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. There's a scene set before us. An anchor cast off the edge of a ship, thrown into the sea, that it might find some purchase in the seabed below. It's cast off the edge of the ship with a hope that it will find something sure, something certain, that it might find a purchase and gain some firm footing, or that the ship might be steadied, and that there might be that no longer being swept around with every wind and with every buffet of wave, but it's cast in, out of sight, in faith, in hope. Oh, that you and I might be brought, oh, to look outside, look away from ourselves. Oh, we must be shown something of ourselves, sick of self and fond of him, that, oh, that we might cast anchor, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. By faith, our hope in Christ Jesus and none other, brought to seek a sure and certain ground in him. You know, we have by nature many, many things that we hope in. The world is hoping that there's no God. Maybe some of you are hoping that there's plenty of time. I'm going to live to a good age. I can worry about those things when I'm older. But these aren't sure. These aren't certain. There's no certainty that you and I will live to a good age. There's no certainty that if we do, we'll have the faculty of our mind. There's nothing certain there. And beloved friends, it's a fool's part who denies that there's a God. Oh, but which hope we have as an anchor of the soul. Where's your faith this evening placed, and where's mine? You must have faith in something. You must have. What's your faith placed in? What are you hoping in this evening? You've all attended chapel. You've all heard the word of God. It's been read, it's been preached to you. Where's your hope placed? What's your faith laid hold of? We're exercising faith and putting our faith in many things every day in our lives. What about for eternity? What about for tomorrow? What about the help you need tomorrow? Have you a little hope that the Lord will be with you? If you look back and you say, He has been my help. Oh, that gives you hope for tomorrow. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. But may the Lord help you to search your heart. Where's your standing this evening? What ground of hope have you as you come, as you look toward the end of your life? Or the end of your life? Who can stare that monster in the face, which is death? Who can talk about it? Who doesn't shrink from it? Who can consider their latter end and not feel fear? The unknown way. Oh, we've seen them, haven't we? They lived amongst us and now they're no longer with us. One by one, they're brought into the world. One by one, they're carried along life's pathway. One by one, they drop off the end. You and I are nearer and nearer, day by day. If we stopped and considered it, surely it would bring us to utter despair if we had nothing to hope in. And so how come? How come we're not in utter despair? What are you consoling yourself with? What are you hoping in? What are you trusting in? Where's your faith placed? Or are we stopping our ears? Oh, how guilty we've been, haven't we, in past? Sat through countless numbers of services, the preaching of the gospel, the warnings of the wrath to come, the certainty of the judgment day, the vastness of eternity set before us, and we can't deny it. We've heard it, but have we heard it? And how did we hear it? Has faith mixed with our hearing? Is that, as Christ is preached, as a sinner's only hope, as he's set forth in the Word of God, as he's held forth in the Gospel, as, like Moses who raised the brazen serpent up on the pole, the Son of Man must also be lifted up. He's set forth in all his beauty as a saviour, one who has lived the perfect life, a life so different to us, a life, his life, meeting every demand of the law, satisfying God's law in every single point, in thought, word and deed. A sinless life, a perfect life, a holy life. A life that's demanded in the word of in God's word, in God's law. A life which is perfect. Heaven cannot accept any sin. Nothing that defileth can enter in. And mankind is ruined with sin through the fall of Adam, and then more so through our own actual sins, as we go on to sin and sin and sin more. But in Jesus Christ, the life free from sin. It behoved him. It was necessary. It became him to be made like unto his brethren, so that he might live that spotless life. A life for them. A life which brings them hope, a sure, a certain hope, a steadfast hope, that as they live and find daily more to grieve them as they go on, because they're in a body of sin, and they won't be free from that until death separates them from their body. And so while in this body of sin, and while they go on and sin more and more, though it's bitter to them, though it's grievous to them, yet they cannot stop it in and of themselves. But they can live. They can live in peace and in joy and in liberty. Oh, what a hope they have. For their hope of heaven is placed in Christ Jesus. Oh, they've cast their anchor as they're sailing through the stormy sea of life. By the grace of God, they've been brought to see the hope that is in Jesus for poor, lost sinners. And they've cast their anchor. Faith has cast the anchor in and is fixed. Oh, and Christ lived that life, perfect, spotless life, laid it down, voluntary act, in love to his people, in obedience to his Father, fulfilling all the demands upon him in the covenant of grace. The spotless life was laid down as a sinless sacrifice. The blood of Jesus spilt upon the ground cried out for mercy and for forgiveness. And God smelt a sweet savour. Justice was satisfied. And the Father raised his Son. The power of God glorified and exalted. Once crucified, now risen and exalted Saviour. And as he died, lying in his heart upon his most holy mind were the names of his people. That as they, as he passed through the article of death, he died for them. And as his Father raised by the power of God, so they rose with him. And now he's ascended. Heaven opened its gates. A triumphant Saviour entered, victorious. Death and sin and Satan conquered. And there he sits, representing, expecting all his people to be with him at last. "Because I live," said he, "ye shall live also." But my sins demand death, eternal misery in hell. "Because I live, ye shall live also." Oh, what a hope. "But I'm guilty. I'm wretched. I'm sinful. What about my sin? I've blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins. Return unto me, for I've redeemed thee." I have purchased them, paid the price, settled the debt, washed away every sin in that precious blood. There's not a hint of sin left chargeable to them. "But what about me? I mean, I still feel my sin." "Ah, there is no spot in thee. Thou art all fair, my love. There is no spot in thee. Not a hint of it left." In Christ, viewed in him, they're holy, they're unblameable, they're unreprovable. Oh, that the Lord would bless us with that sense of pardoned sin. That the full assurance of hope. That we might have the liberty of the children of God here below. That though Satan may try and wrap us up in chains of guilt and condemnation, yet if the Son shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Free from the guilt, free from the condemnation. Oh, as sons and heirs, an inheritance incorruptible that fadeth not away, the prospect, a sure, a certain hope of eternal glory at last. John, in that revelation, saw, didn't he? And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, "What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And I said unto him, "Sir, thou knowest." Because John didn't know, did he? He couldn't recognize them. All these in their white robes, singing hallelujahs, salvation to God which sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb. And he said, "Thou knowest." And he said to me, "These are they which came out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him night and day and night in the temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat, for the Lamb, which is in the midst of the throne, shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Wash their robes, their poor profession, in the blood of the Lamb. And now it's theirs to be adorned in white robes. Oh, the righteousness of Christ, the life of Christ, washed with the precious blood of Jesus, and clothed, wrapped in that life which he lived. So when they're viewed, as they stand around the throne of God in heaven, they have a rightful place there. They're justified to be there. They should be there. It is their part to be there, because Christ has made the way. And he loved them, and he gave them himself for them. And he's lived a life that demands that they're there. And so they stand, and viewed in the life in which he lived, that raiment of fine needlework. Oh, there's not a shadow, not a spot, not a hint of sin. The blood of Jesus has cleansed them, and the life which he lived removes any shame as having once sinned. Oh, what a covering. Oh, where's our hope of a covering, beloved friends? Oh, what will be our part? Will we be like Adam? Are you like Adam and Eve? You trying to stitch something together yourself? Trying to patch up your own righteousness? You think you've got something worthy, but there's a few holes in it. There's a few gaps in it. You've got to patch it up with a bit of what the Lord has done. Beloved friends, it will not do. Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Oh, it's take away the filthy garments. Oh, bring forth that robe. It must be Christ and Christ alone. Oh, you can't have some hope in yourself and some in him. It's Christ must be the all and in all. Oh, to be brought to that place. Nothing in my hand I bring. Nothing. Oh, I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Oh, there's nothing in my hand I bring. Simply to thy cross I cling. Oh, it's nothing of self. It's all in him. Oh, the hope, that sure, that steadfast, both sure and steadfast, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil, that is into the holiest of all, heaven at last, and Christ has gone. Now we read in chapter 9, he's gone for Christ, verse 24, for Christ is not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. And all he is, and all he has, if he's gone before you, oh, if that's your hope this evening, is he confirming it to you, bringing you to pray for things in your life, confirming it with answers, encouraging you along the way, bringing you to put your trust in him, here and there, little by little. Oh, if he's entered into heaven for you, if he's there interceding for you, if his very person and presence in heaven is obtaining those answers for you, beloved friend, pray on. Oh, what can he withhold? Oh, he's helping you for your tomorrow and next week. What about the end of your life? Oh, that the Lord will bring you to pray for spiritual blessings. Tokens for good are wonderful. Answers in providence are great tokens of notice and favour and mercy to be found. Oh, but to not rest short. Oh, but to come and plead that he'll bless your soul and work in you and perform that which is needful and show you yourself and show you himself and give you a spirit of true repentance and faith and shed abroad a Saviour's love in your heart, that your hope might increase more and more each day, that you might grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ, that when you come to the day in which you must leave all here below, oh, you might have that peace. When thou passest through the waters, it's not if, when, I will be with thee. Oh, who can want more than that? When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee. Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Amen.